morning about how God is proving your faithfulness in the way you handle your finances. Now, remember, we started a series a few weeks ago on finances. And as I said, and I'm going to say this again, the purpose of the series is not to manipulate you into giving more. Because that's not from God. God is not a manipulator. God moves our heart in order to give us more. And so, secondly, also, as I always say when I talk about finances, is I don't know how much money we have in the church bank account. I don't know who is faithful in their giving and who is unfaithful in their giving. I don't know. I don't have access to the church bank account. That is all on the church treasurer and his team. They manage that. So it doesn't come from a so. There were some people that weren't being faithful, and some people, it doesn't come from that place, because I don't even know who it is unless I go and ask the Lord and He points them out to me. But I'll keep you to your privacy with the Lord and let Him convict your heart, hallelujah, so that you know that Pastor didn't cheat. He it was simply just teaching in this so that we can understand how to be stewards of this resource at the best of our ability, hallelujah. Now, go to the next slide for me. I want to show you something. No, not that one. You need to take off the words of the board quickly. We all have seen these articles, right? We saw, I don't know if you saw this one. It was in 2021. She picked up 40 million rand and handed it back to the police. We saw this one. Yes. You saw this one where this one with the funds where she spent, I think, 800,000 rand. And then she was sent to prison with it. Yes. So I think they wrongly put too much money into her account as well. Now let me ask you this question. Who's the one that you relate to the most? You don't have to answer. He says the policeman. You know, in life there's two places Christians, born-again believers, usually get tested in. It's the first place is their government obligations, and the second place is their obligation towards their God. Funny enough, Proverbs chapter 11 verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their deceitfulness. And so these are two places we, in finances, we get tested tremendously. I don't think if finances were never in the world, we would have never been tested like we are being tested when God uses finances. Now, in my last sermon, if you can remember, I asked a question, and also with this sermon, I will send out the devotion. The purpose of the devotions I send out is just to simply help you practically apply what we preach in here. So there's some questions, etc. So I hope I'll send that out somewhere Tuesday morning. But in my last sermon, if you can remember, I asked the question that if a man should rob God by withholding their giving, and it was about tithes and offerings. But today, in order for us to be blessed, we need to have integrities with these two areas, especially in the way we steward our finances. Are you with me? Because it's a resource God has given us, which also belongs to God. And so we need to steward what God has given us. And so if you have your Bibles here, won't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Matthew chapter 22, it's also on the back of the board. He says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by the appearances. Tell us then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, it's Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. May God bless his word. and write it on the table of our hearts. Now, in this passage today, the Pharisees and the Herodians was a political party which was pro the Roman Empire. And their job was to canvass more people into their party so that the Roman Empire can even be strong, especially under the Jewish people in that time. Now, in their attempt to trap the words, they asked Jesus whether it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. And Jesus' response revealed profound lessons that we are going to learn today with regards to the financial integrity when we think about it. Now, these guys were testing Jesus. Because if the Lord said, pay taxes to Caesar, the Jews would see him as a friend of Caesar and hate him and most probably will kill him. Now, if Jesus said, withhold your taxes from Caesar, the Romans would see him as an enemy of Caesar and then he would get killed for this as well. So in this instance, they thought they were going to get Jesus to a place where he was between a rock and a place. He didn't have anywhere to go. Now, there were three regular taxes in those times, in those biblical times. There was a ground tax. So if you own property, there was a ground tax, which was 10% tax on grain production and a 20% tax on oil and wine. So whatever comes from your ground, your hard work, your labor, they would tax you on that. Secondly, there was an income tax, which was 1% of a man's income in that time. And there was also poll tax. Paying the poll tax was the most obvious sign of submission to Rome. So in other words, when you pay tax, the tax to Rome, to the Roman Empire, the culture said that you submit. Whether you were a Roman or whether you were a Jew, the culture said once you pay your tax, you submit under that governance, you submit under that empire. Now we all know that the Romans abused their authority when it comes to the Jewish people, and they abused the people quite a lot. And so now Jesus is saying, if you pay tax to Caesar, the perception can be like, you see, he's a friend of Caesar. He wants us to suffer. He doesn't want to deliver us from the Romans. And so I want to ask you this question with this in mind. And that is, if your government hypothetically is corrupt, does it justify you withholding your taxes? Hypothetically, allegedly, if your government is corrupt. Or let's say your church loves money and your pastor loves money and misuses it in such a way that it's all over the news and the media. He's not even afraid of misusing the church's money. Does it justify you withholding your giving to God? Perhaps you've thought of this. I know there's a movement going on in South Africa and it's gaining traction right now at this moment where people are illegally withholding their taxes because they feel if they are paying their taxes, they are empowering the government to become more and more corrupt and oppress people more, because apparently, according to them, this government is not doing anything to their country. We see this a lot on news reports, on carte blanche. They report on these things where people, they call it a tax revolt, where they refuse to pay their taxes. We see people also holding back their municipal rates because their municipality is doing nothing and is basically non-existent. It's just the buildings that is there in some of the towns. And in the church, and I'm not saying, and when I'm saying the church, I'm meaning the global church. We sit with the same problem where pastors are building the ministry of the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the church, around their own persona and around their own charisma and around their own personality. I mean, how do we know this? When we look at posters these days that churches make, it's always promised something that will never be fulfilled, and there's always someone's photo on that picture. And now, in principle, there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm going to tell you why there can be something wrong with that. We see them when they advertise their events. It's always of people. It's always someone has always to be the face of the church. And the danger with that approach is that the average church member or church attender believe that because pastor's face is on the church, it is his church. And pastor starts believing that too. So he feels the money that comes in from the church is his money and he can do with it what he wants. Then, and when the average member then starts to give to the work of the Lord, it's not anymore to the work of the Lord, but it's giving to the pastor. Now there's a place and a time in the Bible where there's giving to the pastor, where we talk about pastor's appreciation, etc., etc. But we need to be careful because even I've heard that even in some churches that pastors have instructed their church board to pay their tithes and offering directly into their bank accounts. That's what's going on in the church. In order to remain on the church board, you have to go that way. There's some churches where I recently read that the first few rows closest to the pastor is saved for the VIP. In other words, if you give above a certain amount, you are allowed to sit close. Do you see the danger? Do you see the danger? And so someone comes to salvation in Jesus Christ and become indoctrinated with this. And so the problem is now they believe more in the person, the human, than they believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you see the danger? And so a whole generation grows up in church not realizing that I need to look to God as the author and the finisher of my faith. They look to their pastor as the author and the finisher of my faith. Then you start seeing abuse happening in the church. But that's not a sermon for today. And there's a problem with this mindset. And that is when in his humanness, in pastor's humanness, he might say something or do something that you don't like as a member of the church. And your first response will be, I will not be giving him my tithe and offering anymore. But we have forgotten that it doesn't come to him, but we give to the Lord out of thankfulness for what God has done for us. Are you with me? Even what we give to Caesar, our modern day government, belongs to God. And what Caesar does with it, Caesar has to go and give account to it, with it one day in front of God. It's not our place to judge Caesar. I want to read to you out of Romans chapter 13 verses 1 to 8. Look at what God, both of the Romans. He says, every person must submit to and support the authorities over him. For there can be no authority in the universe except by God's appointment. Which means that every authority that exists has been instituted by God. He doesn't say every good authority or every bad authority. He says every authority that exists in the universe has been instituted by God. So to resist authority is to resist the divine order of God, which results in severe consequences. Are you with me? He continues. He says, for civil authorities, don't intimidate those who are doing good, but those who are doing evil. So do what is right, and you'll never need to fear those in authority. They will commend you for good citizenship. Those in authority are God's servants for the good of society. Oh, how things have changed. But it still doesn't change the word of God that they are the servants for good in society. But if you break the law, you have reason to be alarmed, for they are God's agents of punishment to bring criminals to justice. Why do you think they are carrying weapons? You are compelled to obey them, not just to avoid punishment, but because you want to live with a clean conscience. This is also the reason you pay your taxes. For governmental authorities are God's officials who oversee these things. So it is your duty to pay all the taxes and fees that they require and to respect those who are worthy of respect. Honor them accordingly. don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. Now we've laid the foundation. Now we can go answer the question whether it's rightful to pay tax to God, and how do we do that? And Jesus gave, and now let's look at the answer Jesus gave to the Herodians and the Pharisees when they were trying to test him. He said, show me the coin for the test, for the tax. And they brought him a denarius, and Jesus said, whose likeness, in other words, whose picture is in this inscription? And they said, Caesar. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard it, they marveled and left him away. Now, what did Jesus mean by this powerful statement? The first thing he means is, he said, honor your government obligations. It is important to honor your government obligations. Jesus affirms that the government makes legitimate requests of us. We are responsible to God in all things, but we must be obedient to government in matters of civil and national. Are you with me? Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 2 verse 17. He says, fear God and honor the king. Every Christian, Barclay, another commentator said, every Christian has a double citizenship. He is a citizen of this country in which he resides or which he happens to live in. To it he owes many things. He owes the safety against lawless men, which only a settled government can give, and he owes all public services. The Lord didn't say that we must submit to the government only when they are good. He said, submit to them regardless, because by submitting to the government of the day, it is as if I am submitting to God. Are you with me? He has put them in place as an instrument to test you and to see what is in your heart. If I would ask you now, when last have you prayed for those in government, what would your answer be? Because God has put them in place to move people more to prayer, especially in Africa. That's why we are such spiritual people in Africa. I've been to countries where everything works fine. And I can tell you today the reason why there's such a lack of spirituality in first world countries. It is because people don't need to pray for the things we pray for daily. And that means they have this impression that they don't need God as we need God in Africa. And yet they need God more. Jesus uses a powerful word, a way to illustrate this. He asks for a coin and asks them, whose face is on the coin? And they joyfully answered, Caesar's. Caesar's face. And he says, so then give to Caesar what is due to Caesar. I want you to put the next slide. It's the slide with the money. That's the one. So now I have a 200 rand note there. And there, it's the new one. I think this is the old one. And we see this face here. The money doesn't belong to him, but we see the face here. But I put a picture up there, and I put a picture up here. Whose face is that? Whose coat of arms is that? The government's. And so this means that it belongs to the government. And so the Lord is saying to us to give to the government what is due to them. First of all, there's obviously many ways to minimize your giving, your tax, minimize your giving to them legally, not illegally, legally. And for that, you will have to employ a tax practitioner, but don't go and do your own things, because it will catch up with you and God's justice will be appealed to you through the government, because you haven't been paying your tax. But in order for you to be blessed, in order for us to really serve the Lord, there's an obligation through government that we need to hold down. Whatever belongs to our Caesar, we give to our Caesar. But there's a second part in the statement that Jesus talks about. There's a second part in this, and that is honoring God's obligations. And I'm going to show you how to do that. Now, when we look at the born again believer, whose image is on them? Jesus. So what does it say? Give to God? As a matter of fact, we don't even belong to ourselves. Everyone has the image of God impressed upon them. This means that we belong to God, not to Caesar, and not even to ourselves. Belong to God. So we need to give to God what is due to God. That is all of us. Everything of myself, my whole life, my whole family. If the stamp of God is upon that person, we need to give it to God. We as born-again believers have dual citizenship. We are temporary citizens of this world. This means we pay our dues to the government of this world, whether we believe it's fair or not, and whatever they do with it is their business. And we are also citizens of heaven, which means we pay our dues to God irrespective of whether we love the pastor and the leadership and the church or not. It is our dues to God. We submit to God by submitting under His delegated authority, which He has placed on this earth. But if we rebel against His delegated authority on this earth, we can just as well rebel against God. And the Bible says that rebellion is the same as witchcraft. It's rebelling against God. And so we pay our dues irrespective. And that's why we as the clergy, as people who work in church, should never be at a place where we have to manipulate people in order to give. Or make people feel bad, or make people feel guilty, or say, pastor is upset, we're going to take up an offering. Pastor is on his way, we're going to take up another offering. Pastor's mother's birthday is happening, we're going to take up another offering. And it's just offerings and offerings. It is manipulative. It is not in line with the word of God. Because if we give out everything which belongs to God in the first place, then the way we see blessings changes. Because now I look to God as my source. Now I look to God as my provider. Now I look to God as the one who blesses me. I don't look to my job. I don't wait for the end of the month. We don't even look to that because I've given myself away. So my provider is the one to whom I belong, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another commentator, Clark, says, it establishes the limits, regulates the rights, and distinguishes the jurisdiction of the two empires of heaven and earth. The image of princes stamped on their coin denotes that temporal things belong all to their government. The image of God stamped on the soul denotes that all its faculties and powers belong to the Most High and should be employed in His service. We should all be employed. If you say you belong to the Lord, prove it by being employed in His service. Not by coming to work in the church and volunteer. When you are outside of these four walls, prove it that your faculties belongs to the Lord. Show it to Him. Don't show it to us. Had the Jews rendered unto God His due, they would have never had rendered anything unto Caesar, because they submit under God. And God requires them to submit under delegated authority. And so we don't submit under the government of this world. We submit under God through the government of this world. In other words, when we submit under God, we don't have to submit under the government. Because under God means I'm submitting under the government. Now, there's a There's parameters that we need to submit unto. Should the government require you to sin, then automatically your constitution becomes the word of God. Because we are faithful to God first, which will never let us sin, then we are under the government of this world. Are you with me? Our authority, our governance comes from heaven. And so when we submit under God. I want to conclude with this. By giving God his due, we are living out our mission. And that is to equip every believer to be a powerful witness in their world. But we are also giving out our vision, living out our vision, and that is to plant a church in every household in Midrand. How do we know that? Because we don't know who knows who we belong to. Many times people will say, you guys are Christians, but look how you are doing this and that. Many times in civil government, people will say these things. Why do you Christians always pretend to serve this God? But when we see how you handle business, it is not evident that you are worshiping God. Do you see how important it is to live a lifestyle of belonging to God, to live a lifestyle of submitting to God? Because we are like open letters to this world. We don't know who is being put off or being drawn to God by our behavior. Let me conclude with this. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 13. The one who faithfully manages the little he has been given will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why could you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? Perhaps the reason why you cannot function in certain gifts of the Spirit is because we haven't been faithful to the physical gifts. Perhaps. He continues.